This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you.
Let's pray over this word today. God, I thank you, Father, for your presence, for already making your presence known today. Thank you, God, that you would just continue to touch our hearts. You know exactly where we are. You know where we are individually. You know where we are on a journey as a church. God, I thank you that you would speak to us something that's right on time. God, that we can take to heart, that we can let be planted as a seed. God, that would bring forth more fruit in our lives. Cause us to be fruitful believers, a fruitful church, fruitful families in all that we do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Let's give a big hand for our worship team and Miss D. It's her birthday. Miss D. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Miss D. Happy birthday to you. She's so wonderful, powerful woman of God. What a strong and powerful leader in our house. I want to continue talking to you about what our reach is, what our footprint as believers should be, because we should be having a kingdom impact just as Christ did. And so what is that supposed to look like? I want to take you to Luke 15, verse 11. Last week we talked a little bit about some things that were lost, that it's our responsibility and it's the focus of heaven, it's the focus of Christ to go after those that have lost their way. We talked about the lost coin, we talked about the lost sheep last week. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes a step further and he tells a third parable, still emphasizing this focus on those that have been lost. So let's read together. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between the two sons. And a few days later, the young man packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'I have sinned both against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring him the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the fatted calf that we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son who was dead is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was out in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf, and we're celebrating because his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. And his father came out and begged him. But he replied, "All these years I've slaved for you, and I've never once refused to do a single thing you've told me to. And in all that time, you've never given me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when my son, this son of yours, came back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always been with me, and everything I have is yours. We have to celebrate this happy day, for your brother who was dead has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found." So the father, his focus is the lost that will be found. The lost that has been found. The lost that needs to be found. This is the focus of the father. This is the focus of Jesus. This is the focus of heaven. How do we help those that are broken, that have lost their compass, that have lost their hope, that have lost their faith, find their way back home? There are those out there that they have lost their way. They have packed up their stuff. They moved far from the Father's house. They are disconnected from the embrace of the Father. They are disconnected from the resources of the Father. They are disconnected from the family of God. They're disconnected in every way. They're out there on their own. This young man, he moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all of his money on wild living. There are people that God has allowed to be in our lives that they've wasted themselves. They've wasted their resources. They've wasted their health. They're broken, and they've made poor life choices. But God is saying, "I'm still interested in them. I still want them to come back home. I'm still desirous of them. My focus is still after them." And so this thing that we're talking about is a perspective switch, a perspective change, making sure that our perspective is that of the Father, because there are those that are precious to him and those that are precious to us that have wasted themselves on poor decisions, poor life choices, like this young man in this story. And the thing that the enemy doesn't tell you beforehand is, after you spend yourself and spend your resources, that's when he hits you with the famine. Everything looks like it's going to be great forever until you run out of money, until you run out of friends, until you run out of open doors, and then the enemy hits you with the famine. There are people that are precious to God that are in the midst of a famine. And just like this young man, they are starving. They're starving for a word from God. They're starving to get back to their spiritual journey. They're starving for the relationships that God wants to bring into their life. They're starving for the love of a heavenly Father. So he persuades a local farmer to hire him. And he sends him into the field to feed the pigs. Now, to understand this, you'd have to understand the Jewish culture that pigs are detestable. They're an unclean animal. They don't eat this animal. They don't want to be around this animal. But yet, this man is so broken. He's so at a desperate point in his life that he's willing to get filthy to survive. He's willing to eat filth and be around filth to survive. How many people that God cares about? How many people, if we're honest with ourselves, that we care about? They, because they're in a desperate position, have dirtied themselves. And they have willing to get involved with stuff that was previously detestable to them. Sometimes we can look at people and say, "How could you do that? How could you be involved with that? How could you be involved with that person?" Well, when the enemy gets someone in a famine and they're starved for the word of God and they're starved for kingdom relationships and they're starved for the family of God and starved for the love and acceptance of a father, they get to a place where they're willing to get filthy to survive. They're willing to eat filth to survive. But God loves them. God has a plan for them. And then I love this about the narratives and the way that Jesus operated. I wish we would take note of this. Jesus does not say that the Father went out into the pigsty and found the Son. No, it said that there was a moment that the Son came to himself. You see, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't go barging into people's lives. We're not supposed to go barging into people's lives, but being aware of what the Holy Spirit is saying and what how the Holy Spirit is guiding, because the young man first comes to himself and he says, you know what? I've made some really bad life choices. I'm dying here. I need to turn around and go to my Father's house and beg for forgiveness, and even just a little bit of his forgiveness is better than a whole lot of what I got right now. He comes to himself. See, the Holy Spirit will lead you to the woman at the well. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the person that has just come to themselves. They're not close enough, but they can see God's grace at a distance. They can see God's love at a distance, and that's when enters you, enters me. Enters the person with the heart of the Father. It says at a long way off. Now, this is where we have to have discernment as believers. This is where we have to have discernment and direction from the Holy Spirit, because it didn't say he waited till he got up on the house. It said he saw him a long way off, because he's so precious that we can't wait to see. Maybe he might turn his turn around. Maybe he might not remember where the address to the house is. Maybe he might be embarrassed. The Father saw him from a long ways off. The Holy Spirit shows you even a far ways off. They've just had a glimpse of the grace of God. And then he sends you. Then he sends me. Then he sends the ambassador of God's love. I love it. He sees him at a distance and he goes running. The Father, now knowing that the opportunity for repentance is available, goes running. I love this. The Spirit of the Father is not to barge into somebody's life, but when the moment is right, he runs. He runs. He chases after. That's the Spirit of God, to chase after the lost. Oh my God, to chase after to redeem. To chase after to restore. To chase after to bring back home. I love that. He sees him at a distance and he runs and he embraces him. Come up here, Nelson. It's all right. We're good. We can hug. He sees him at a distance. He embraces him. And he kisses him. And here's the thing about people that are lost. They don't understand where they're going. The first thing he says is, Father, I'm not really worthy. You see, sin will make you forget your identity. Sin, the burden of sin and the burden of wrong decisions will make you forget who that you are. He comes and he says, Father, I'm not worthy. Don't look at me. Just let me go be in the servants' quarters. I'm not worthy. The Father says the exact opposite. He says, get the finest robe and put him on, because I want to tell him who he is. Come on, there's something in the heart of a believer that wants to tell somebody that's broken, that's lost, let me tell you who you are to God. Let me tell you what you mean to my Savior. He died on a cross for you, just like he died on a cross for me. Put the finest robe that you can find in the house. Put the robe on him. And put a ring on his finger. I love this, Because the heart of the Father is to cover and to make covenant again. Oh my goodness. I'm not looking at the past about what you did when you were in the world, when you were making bad decisions. I'm not looking at that anymore. Jesus isn't looking at it, and I'm not looking at it. I'm putting a robe. My heart is to cover. My heart is to cover. Oh my goodness. The Bible says that he forgets. That he forgets. He decides to erase it from his recollection. And so we have to have the Spirit of the Father. We're not coming with a judgmental spirit. I'm not looking to uncover. He said, I don't want anybody in the house to see you this way. I don't want anybody to perceive you this way. I want to give you a new identity. I want everybody in the house to know you as this, as my son. Not as a poor beggar that's been living with pigs. Not about a young man that's made poor life choices. Been wasting money on prostitutes. No. I want to wrap you in my glory. I want to wrap you. The Bible says that those that are mature among you, let them gently restore. I love that. I love that. And so he puts the robe and he puts the ring. Oh my goodness. He says, I'm coming back into covenant with you. You walked away from the covenant, but I'm coming back into covenant with you today. That's so powerful that it's not about does someone deserve it? Is somebody worthy? The power of repentance is this. When you repent and you said, you know what? I've tried it that way. I've tried it the old way. It has not worked. I'm dying out here. I need to come back home. I need to come back home. He says, the Father comes back into covenant with him. The Father covers him. I love if we can get that perspective. The Father runs to him with love and compassion. Not an I told you so. This is difficult sometimes when you work so hard in the church. Somebody walks away. When they come back, in the natural, you want to say, well, I told you so. That's not the heart of the Father. The Father has love and compassion, and he runs, he embraces, he kisses, he covers, he makes covenant. We must celebrate. So the party begins, but here's the problem, and here's the thing we all have to watch out for. The older brother mentality. Now, the older brother's not all bad. He was faithful in the Father's house. He's doing the work that the Father gave him. He was obedient to the Father. But listen to the attack of the enemy. The attack of the enemy is to make you selfish. See, in that moment, the older brother was only concerned with himself. Well, you didn't give me a party. You didn't give me a fattened calf. You didn't give that. You didn't shower your attention on me. You didn't call the whole neighborhood together for me. But you call it together for this loser that walked away. And so the enemy creeps in. He becomes selfish. He becomes entitled. I deserve this. I was faithful. I've been slaving away in the fields. I've been busting my butt. I deserve a fatted calf. I deserve a party. The Father is saying, you're missing the point. I love it when he comes back to the young man. He says to the older brother, he says, look, everything I have, I've got you. Your reward is already fixed. Everything I got, I'm giving to you. But we got to celebrate this young man that's come home. We got to do it. And so the father's heart is saying, listen, 99, I love you. I've got you. I'm taking care of you. I got your blessing. I got your family. I got you covered. But we got to focus on the lost. We got to celebrate this. This has got to be our focus. He's saying, dear son, come in here and celebrate with me. You're missing the point. Yes, 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 yes. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of your inheritance. You don't have to worry about that. Far too often we're worried about our own blessing. When God is saying, you know what? I got that. I've got you. I got you. It's amazing what happens. This is called the Matthew 6:33. When you seek first the kingdom of God and what he wants you to focus on and doing things his way, the right way, all these things. The fatted calf, the party, the blessing, the inheritance will be added to you. If we get about the Father's business, Jesus said when they tracked him down and he was just 12, they said, where were you? I was about the Father's business. Because he understood the blessing for the son, the blessing for the daughter lies in doing the Father's business. Oh my goodness. What is our legacy? What is our footprint as believers? Helping broken people come back home. Oh my goodness. Helping people that have lost their compass. Their discerner doesn't work anymore. They've lost their ability to get back on their spiritual journey. To be a guide to others. To get back home. That is the heart of the Father. That is the focus of heaven. That is the teaching of Christ. Helping those that are lost to find their way back home. Maybe there's somebody in your life that God is stirring you up in this season. He's like making you uncomfortable because he wants you to be bold enough to open up your mouth and be a guide to somebody else. And where would any of us be today without a guide? Maybe it was a mother, maybe it was a father, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a family member. Somebody was the spokesperson for God to you. Somebody was the ambassador of God's love, the Father's intention to open his arms and show you the love and acceptance, to throw you the welcome party that you deserve. Will you bow your heads with me today? God, I thank you, Father, for your people, and I thank you for your assignment for us and for what you want to stir up in us in this season is, God, an awareness of those that are lost around us, an awareness of those that they've lost hope or they've lost faith or they've lost their way and they just want to get back to you. They just want to get back to that relationship with you. They just want to get back to the Father's house. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would give us a heart like your heart. That you would give us a mission like the mission of Christ. God, let us see, let us have intention like you. Let us have perspective like you. That we search until we find. That we go out and we don't give up. That we're tenacious about what you've placed in our hearts. And Holy Spirit, guide us. Lead us. Let us know those moments when to speak. There's a time to speak. There's a time to pray. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to speak up. God, show us the nuances, Lord, that we would find that person at the well. That we would find that prodigal that's just trying to get back. And Lord, I thank you. Maybe there's someone here today that said, Pastor, that's me. I feel like I'm that person that's trying to find their way back. Somewhere I just lost it. I lost myself. And I'm trying to put two and two together, trying to find my way back to him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. Amen.
If you slipped up your hand, you can repeat this prayer after me. And everybody, you can join in with us. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for showing me an example to follow. I need you. More than ever, I need you. Thank you for wiping my sins away. Wipe every bad decision away. Give me a fresh start today. Jesus, walk with me. Jesus, show me how to do it your way. I give you 100% starting today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God the praise. What a great thing. What a powerful. Let me tell you something. When you say yes to Jesus, whatever level, whatever path on your journey is, there's something powerful with that. To say yes, because that's where the transformation happens. That's where the transformation happens. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.